Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source, provided by the CPA Technology Advisor at the intersection of technology and public accounting. The Intersection Live podcast series is brought to you by ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community.
Hello, this is John Anderson. And I am going to be reading today the June-July 2008 eSecurity Advisor column. This column is titled Preventing Theft by Understanding Firewalls, Part 2. It was Friday, March 14th, and it had been an extremely bad week for Mr. Hapless of Hapless CPA. Mr. Unforgiving, the largest client at the firm, was sitting in the lobby waiting to meet with him. Mr. Hapless knew why. The whole week had been about disclosures. The disclosure of personal data from Mr. Hapless's computers, and the theft of personal client information. The FBI and state police had been in the offices most of the week investigating. Fortunately, they are gone now, thought Mr. Hapless as he walked down the hall to the front lobby. The news media had moved on to another story in town. He was thankful for the focus shifting from him to someone else. The news media had been camped out in the parking lot waiting to pounce on any customer or employees coming into or leaving the office for comments about the disclosure of data. So Mr. Hapless had given most of the employees the week off. Not that the media could understand the issues facing the firm this time of year. All they wanted to know was how it happened and why the firm had been so careless with client data. No important work had been done this week. Most corporate returns had to be extended, even though some could have been completed if this issue hadn't happened. This by far had been the worst tax season, and there was still a month left. Mr. Hapless escorted Mr. Unforgiving into the conference room and asked him how things were going, but he knew full well the answer would not be good. Mr. Unforgiving hardly ever came into the office, as he preferred to have his underlings take care of his dealings with Mr. Hapless. Mr. Unforgiving began, quote, Happy, Mr. Hapless's nickname. We've known each other for a long time, and it is a terrible thing happening to your firm right now. I really feel bad for you. You probably don't know this, but the data thieves that broke into your computer system have not only obtained credit cards in my name, but they have also used direct deposit information to liberate my bank account of $500,000. I'm not happy about this situation. And as of now, you are terminated as my accountant. I am taking my business to Abel and Kuntz. Fred Abel will be contacting you on Monday to get the status of my business and personal tax matters. Mr. Hapless tried very hard to stay positive and keep a smile on his face. Mr. Unforgiving was his largest billing client and represented considerable revenue for his small firm. Bob, Mr. Hapless said, is there anything I can do to change your mind? I know this is bad, but I really thought I was protected. My outside IT person said the firewall I had was sufficient. I didn't know that it wasn't. Would you reconsider? We've known each other for a long time, and that has to be worth something. No, said Mr. Unforgiving. You have cost me considerable time and money already, and from what I've learned about identity theft, it's going to take me several months to clean up all this mess. You should have been thinking more about your security instead of relying on your outside IT guy. See you around town. With that, Mr. Unforgiving got up and walked out of the office. Is the experience of Mr. Hapless typical in our profession? Fortunately, not yet. As accountants, we need to work diligently to keep it that way. While this story is fictitious, it does give us something to think about. How good our protection is at the internet perimeter and how much vulnerability we have to an outsider's intent on stealing computer information is a matter all public accountants have to address. The answer resides in how well we protect our networks from both inside and outside threats. What is enough protection? Risk is the primary issue related to assessing what is enough. How high is an accountant's risk to data compromise and theft? Well, the threat is ever-changing. As accountants, we need to prepare and continue to monitor our networks to threats, both existing and new. We must continue to understand what is happening in the connected world of the Internet and make sure we are implementing state-of-the-art components. We must keep our client data safe and secure. Are we 100% protected from the professional hacker? Don't bet the farm. However, if we implement sufficient security in our firms, we should be able to make our firms less desirable to the professional hacker. Thieves don't want to work too hard for their money. So if you make it too difficult to get into your network without proper credentials, the professional will move on to easier targets. The non-professional will pass by a well-protected network entirely. The script kiddies, those just learning to hack, do not have the skills to compromise a well-protected network, so they pass by fairly quickly. To reduce our risk, we need to implement good, solid commercial firewalls and intrusion protection devices in our networks. The definition of good is a device that provides blocking of unauthorized internet traffic, scanning of approved internet traffic to ensure it complies with the protocols for the type of traffic, and monitoring logs of activity from our protected device to ensure that no unwanted activity is being detected. What is the proper firewall? Commercial firewalls are not devices you find in the local Best Buy or Circuit City. These devices are designed for the consumer market and aim to minimize user support calls. This means that such devices are configured at the factory with settings that allow for more openings than what is desirable for a business. As a practitioner, it is unwise to use such consumer devices in your business because consumers have less risk of attack to their home computers. The consumer items are great for consumers, but not great for businesses. Leading commercial firewall makers include Cisco, SonicWall, and Microsoft. Cisco, excluding Linksys, and SonicWall make physical devices that act as a gate between the Internet and the internal corporate network by placing their device between the two network connections. WAN, W-A-N, for the Internet, and LAN, L-A-N, for the internal network. Microsoft's firewall product, ISIS Server 2000XX, where XX is the year of issue, is a software firewall that will run on a standard Windows Server operating system. The last release was 2006, and a new release is expected this year. As a side note, not mentioned in the article, Microsoft has renamed this product and bundled it with their Forefront Security. So if you are looking for this particular product, look under the Forefront Security banner. Back to the article. ISIS Server works in much the same way as a physical hardware firewall, but instead of a device, you use a server purchased from a server manufacturer and install ISIS on top of the Windows Server operating system. ISIS Server is called a software firewall because it is independent of the physical piece of hardware. ISIS Server, when set up properly, separates the Internet, WAN, from the internal network, LAN, in the same way as a hardware firewall. It uses two network cards, one connected directly to the Internet provider's link, and the other connected to the internal network. This provides the same separation as the physical hardware firewall. Why are these firewalls better than Linksys, D-Link, Netgear, and all the other consumer-based firewalls in the market? Well, while the consumer firewalls are more open, the SonicWall, Cisco, and Microsoft ISIS server require specific configuration to allow the internal network to communicate with the Internet. This difference is the exact reason that commercial firewalls are better. They require the user to specifically allow the types of communication needed. Consumer firewalls are inexpensive and designed to be very much plug and play. Many of the common communication protocols from the Internet are pre-configured to allow the communication whether the user has a need for that particular communication protocol or not. This pre-configuring, while easy for the consumer, does little to provide significant protection for the business user. And finding and using an open communication protocol is an easy task for hackers. It's even easier to do this on a computer interface, it is even easier to do this on a computer infected with some type of malware, such as a Trojan or spyware, because most consumer firewalls allow an outgoing connection to create a reciprocal incoming connection. The commercial firewalls will not allow an incoming connection to be created unless it is specifically allowed in the firewall policies. This difference in allowing incoming connections is what separates the commercial firewalls from consumer firewalls. What should you do? If you are running a consumer-based firewall, you should seriously consider upgrading this device to a commercial firewall because you are barely protected. With the vulnerable data you hold, you are a sitting duck for someone to pluck out the information and sell it. If you are running a commercial firewall that happens to be several years old, you might consider an upgrade this year. If you are running a commercial firewall and it is less than 18 months old, you are right where you should be in terms of security. Not sure where you are? Armed with this article, you need to talk to your IT person and ask them some pointed questions about the type of firewall installed, how old it is, and when it was last checked for updates. If you find a consumer-grade firewall, you need to have a discussion with your IT person about why they are using a consumer device in a business that needs a commercial device to protect its data. Conclusion. Deep penetration was never caught for compromising the systems of hapless CPA and selling the information to other hackers. She made over $400,000 selling all of hapless CPA's client data to IDMe. As for hapless CPA, after his largest client left, several others followed. Mr. Hapless ended up selling his firm to Able & Koontz for one-third of the price it would have received had his data not been stolen. While the events described in the hacking incident have fortunately not yet happened to a public accounting firm, the scenario is something that could happen if firms do not take proper precautions to protect their data. Every day, criminals use the Internet to obtain stolen credit cards, Social Security numbers, ACH information, and other personal information that they in turn sell to other criminals via the Internet or use for their own benefit to obtain money from the unsuspecting. Protecting yourself with a commercial firewall. Protect yourself with a commercial firewall, and don't let what happened to Mr. Hapless happen to your firm. If you are using a consumer-grade firewall, work with the technical people who help your firm to implement a commercial-grade firewall. It is important to lock and deadbolt the door in your house, so make sure you do the same for the data stored on your network. Not securing your data is an invitation to identity thieves and hackers to break into your network and steal information. Don't become a victim. Also in this month, we had two things that we highlighted in breakout boxes. And one sort of snapshot summary of the article. The snapshot said, security is only as weak or as strong as management allows. If you allow weak security by not spending money on adequate protection, the result will be more vulnerability to attack by a hacker. If management of the firm takes a strong interest in security and making sure the firm is spending enough to buy good protection, the vulnerability will be less vulnerable to attack by a hacker. The important security updates for this month were several. There are actually five. The recent patch releases, service packs, and critical updates were as follows. Microsoft has released several important updates to Microsoft Office XP 2003 and 2007. And that's Office XP 2003 and 2007. Java has a critical update to prevent system compromise by a website hack. Be sure to update your Java installation as soon as possible. Also, remember to go back and uninstall prior Java installations from add remove programs. Once the current version is installed, these older versions sit around and take up disk space on your computer and are not necessary. Microsoft has released Service Pack 3 for Windows XP. Microsoft has released Service Pack 1 for Windows Vista, which brings Windows Vista kernel code to the same version level as Windows Server 2008, just released. Cisco routers have a new iOS release to fix a vulnerability that allows a hacker to compromise and gain access to the network. ASA firewall devices are not affected. The last breakout box is titled Two Important Passwords to Change. Drive-by farming is a term coined to describe a specific type of attack used to compromise internet routers, especially the broadband routers installed by many service providers. By not changing the default password, hackers will use these known passwords to access a network. It is very important that these default passwords are changed to prevent these types of attacks. Because these routers are so central to the operation of your your network's connection to the internet, it is easy to gain access and create mischief, whether it's changing network settings to route information to the attacker's computers or sending traffic through your internet connections to others. The WPA password is used by wireless devices to secure and encrypt wireless connections between a computer and an access point. The connection traffic between the two devices is encrypted using a password shared between the two devices. With sufficient time, this encryption key can be compromised by someone listening to enough traffic between the wireless access point and the computer. The reason this key can be compromised is because the password used to secure WPA is a static key that never changes. If you are using WPA, you should change this password regularly to prevent it from being compromised. Additionally, if both passwords are lengthy and complex, they are harder to crack in the time period between changes. And a side note of that, not included in the article, WEP keys fall under the same category, especially if you are using a shared key. And there are other WPA protocols. There's WPA and WPA2 that have this same vulnerability, and those passwords should be changed on a regular basis as well. All right, that concludes this month's column and our story about our hacker and firewalls. I look forward to sharing next month's column with you when that time comes. In the meantime, have a great month, and we will see you next month.
For more information about the CPA Technology Advisor's other podcast programs, webcasts, and our e-newsletter, visit www.cpatechadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106. Or tune in to future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via TalkShoe.com.